Baseball podcast. It is March 22nd, 2016. I'm amped up on coffee. How are you doing today, Gray?
You have reached the voicemail box for Gray Albright.
Are you still flying back from New York from Towel Wars?
If you would like to leave a message.
What the hell? What, this voicemail knows exactly what I'm going to talk. It's like
it's an intelligent voicemail. Don't worry about my voicemail, JB.
It's as fortuitous as Ferris Bueller's recording when Rooney comes to the house.
Yeah, you're Rooney and I'm Ferris in this equation. Don't forget it.
Actually, that's a pretty good comp because I kind of am a bumbling, clumsy, tall guy. And you're this little, like, giggly kid running around.
Yeah, just don't follow in Rooney's footsteps in real life.
Yeah, I heard about that one.
Oh, man, always when it, just when you think we're going to avoid pedophilia for one podcast, there we go, right back.
Yeah, I was about to say, if you don't know what he's up to, let's just say he's a big fan of Subway, right?
Don't Google it. The NSA is watching you. Or is it the TSA? I always get my essays wrong.
Did you watch the Top Chef finale last week?
Oh, yeah, I did. My guy came in second.
I was disappointed. Wah. I thought he did better.
I know, I did too. It really seemed like you wanted to eat his food more than the other guy.
Oh, yeah.
Right? I mean, I don't want a, like, it looked like the stuff you find in the bathroom at a fertility clinic with that honey thing he did. Like, oh, what was that? What was that Vicus mess of a honey drop of, mixed with calcium fluoride? What is that? Is that toothpaste? I don't want that.
Yeah, I'd want to eat the food of the humble, big bodied guy Mark instead of the bald bro. Yo, bro, I made you some caviar confit, bro, with some crudo, bro. It's like, no, shut up.
Yeah, I know. I did a honey water drop in calcium fluoride. You put it on your finger and then you hold your arm up and it rolls down into your mouth.
Come on, bro, everyone's doing it, bro.
I know. Maybe if you ever come out to L.A., we'll go together to the guy's restaurant who came in second.
That would be awesome.
The big bodied man.
I thought you were about to say we could be bros together. We could both go sleeveless.
No. I'll meet you at the restaurant. I don't want to see you outside of that. No, that's it. Yeah, right. No. Take it easy, bro.
All right, bro. My bad, bro.
I like how we're so PC with our big bodied. Everything else is totally un-PC, but when it comes to big bodied men, we are very PC.
This is a family show, Gray. This is a rated G show.
Oh man, that's a, yeah, exactly. Up until about like 10 seconds in, when I mentioned pedophilia.
Rooney! All right, great. Let's talk your Towel Wars team, all right? How's that sound?
Yeah, we should. That's a good idea. You want to give a lead in as to what went on? I don't know if all our listeners know I was in Towel Wars this year.
Yeah, well
actually, now they do because I just said that.
Well, I don't know if I would be the best one to lead in since I wasn't there. Why don't you lead it us in, Gray?
Okay, yeah. No, I was notified a couple weeks ago that they're doing a head-to-head tout, and they invited me, and because I've been in the mixed league tout for a while, and the mixed league is online, and it's you know, it's all good. I like, actually, I kind of prefer mixed leagues, to be honest, because it's not like you're picking backups for everyone. But anyway, whatever the case may be, they contacted me, and they were like, you know, if you want, you can be in head-to-head. And I was like, yeah, I don't like head-to-head.
Yeah, I don't either. That's a good decision.
So they were like, yeah, but it's in New York. It's at the SiriusXM building. And, you know, you'll get to meet everyone at Tout and all this stuff. And I'm like, yeah, that's kind of cool. But I don't like head-to-head.
Yeah.
So, and plus, I live in L.A., so I don't really feel like flying to New York for head-to-head. So anyway, emails went back and forth. And he was like, all right. This is Peter Crutzer, by the way, the guy who runs Tout Wars. And I'm sure I mispronounced his last name. But anyway, he was like, well, I'll move into head-to-head and you can take my spot for 1 year in NL, NL only. So I was like, all right, yeah, I'll do that. Because, you know, it's a little more shine, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
There's a little more shine on the NL only.
Yeah.
Even though I like mixed leagues, but, yeah, mixed leagues online, and you know, it's good to put a face to some names.
Yeah.
So anyway, I flew out there late Friday, got in like Saturday, and the draft was on Sunday at 10 a.m. It was at the SiriusXM building, which is 1221 Avenue of the Americas. So I got the address and I was like, okay, I'm gonna make a hotel reservation literally around the block, because I know if the draft starts at 10 a.m., that's gonna be 7 a.m. Pacific time. So
yeah.
I'm gonna still be jet lagged. So I need to be like right there in order to do this draft. So I made the reservation, and then the night before, I told my mom, I was like, you got to call me at like 8 o'clock in the morning to make sure I'm awake. Then I got a wake up call from the hotel. Then I set the alarm clock in the hotel room, and then I set my iPhone alarm. And then I told everyone, wake me up at 8 a.m. So then at 7:59 a.m., I wake up on my own.
Oh!
And I start getting all these alarms. They're like, ah, I get it. I'm up. So anyway, so I'm like, and I'm usually the kind of guy who runs early for everything. So at like 9 o'clock, an hour before the draft, now I can see the building from where I'm staying. I am literally 500 feet away. So at 9 a.m., I go over to the Starbucks that is right next door to my hotel, and I kill some time. I get a flat white with coconut milk, and I do a little vaping, and then I just hang out for about 45 minutes. I'm killing time because I know the walk is literally like it'll take me 30 seconds to walk to the building. So I leave Starbucks at 9:45. I walk up to the building, but before I get to the building, I notice there's this half marathon going down the middle of the street. Now most people would have noticed this before going into Starbucks, but I happen to miss it. So the building I'm going to is across the street from where I'm standing, and the marathon is between us. So I go up to the police officer, and I'm like, can I cross the street? I have to go to the Sirius building. And the cop's like, no, you have to go up 10 blocks and go down the subway and come back up the other side. I'm like, no, you don't understand. I have a suitcase, and I'm in Tout Wars. I can't be running with a suitcase. He's like, that's all you got to do, pal. Go down 10 blocks. Now get out of here. I'm like, ah! So I throw the suitcase on my back and I start running against the marathon. And I get down 10 blocks. I go down the subway and then I run back 10 blocks because there's so much traffic. I can't even take a taxi. So then I got to the draft with like a minute to spare.
Nice. Well, that's all that matters.
Sweating and out of breath and everything, but I got there.
So it's a star-studded affair. Looks like Jack Full of Hate's boyfriend was there.
Yep, Tristan Cockcroft, Mike Gianella, Derek Hardy, Ray Guilfoyle, Adam Hurts, Lenny Melnick, Andy Behrens,
friend of the podcast, Andy Behrens. He was on the Hoops podcast last year.
Oh, okay.
He seems like the nicest dude.
Yeah, he's like almost too nice.
I know. It's almost
you're almost like a serial killer because you're really nice.
Yeah, he might be hiding something. Yeah. I don't know.
And Panowski was in New York, and I didn't get to meet Panowski. It was like, it was so weird because I've been talking to these guys online for like, I don't know, 6-7 years.
Yeah.
And so I meet Behrens and we're talking or whatever. And then he's like, wait, are you Gray from Razzball? I'm like, yeah, who are you? I have no idea because all I know is from emails and stuff. I don't know what he looks like. He's like, I'm Andy Behrens from Yahoo. I'm like, oh, okay. I had no idea. Steve Gardner was also in the draft. Anyway, so pretty much I went into it. I was going with my values was how I was going about drafting for like nothing. I didn't really care about anything else in the room. I was going off of my values and whatever the value said, that's what I went with. Like, for instance, I got Anthony Rizzo for $38, and he was on my sheet for $42. So I was, you know, I was happy with that. And then I got Mikel Franco for $23, and on my sheet he was like, I think, $24 or something. So I was literally just going along. And then I get to D. Gordon, and that's where the wheels came off a little bit. So I'm looking at my sheet, and Rudy made up the sheet for me, and it's got everything. I mean, it's got so much information. Unfortunately, it has a little too much information for me because it has on there the values that people paid that are in my league for at the labor draft. So I know how much, like, Cockcroft, for instance, would paid for D. Gordon or something. I'm not saying Cockcroft was the one who bought D. Gordon, but that's sort of what my sheet says. Like, it says so much stuff. It even includes how much these guys paid for the players I'm going to be auctioning on. So at my sheet, it says D. Gordon, $32. So I'm like, all right, I guess $32 is the value. That seems kind of high, but yeah, I'll go with it. Well, it turns out my sheet really said like $21.
Oh.
But I think Andy Behrens or somebody bought D. Gordon for $32 at the labor draft. So it wasn't Andy, but it was someone along those lines bought D. Gordon for $32. So I went off of the wrong number for D. Gordon. But everyone else is correct.
Well, but, you know,
so I and so when I got D. Gordon, I you know, at that point, I obviously that was, I think that was like 4 or 5 players in. So at that point, obviously, you know, my strategy had to start skewing to make sure I didn't go too speed heavy. So at that point, I started going a little more power and. Power and on-base percentage heavy. That's how I ended up with, like, Matt Holliday. He was for on-base percentage, you know, like a Zach Cozart as opposed to, like, a Jonathan Villar. You know, I went with Cozart because he's power rather than getting speed at shortstop. And those were sort of the decisions that were informing the rest of my team.
Yeah, so...
Or the rest of my hitting, at least, excuse me.
Yeah, you spent $25 on catchers. Was that something you went in trying to do, you know?
Yeah, that was another... It was the same sort of, like, just going off of the sheet. Marasco on my sheet was...
Marasco.
Yeah, Mesoraco. Excuse me. Yeah, you know what I'm saying.
I mean, usually I don't feel like I have to correct you because it's part of our shtick, but that was so wrong that someone might think that's a different person.
Some people might think it's someone else. Yeah, no, I'm sorry. Devin Mesoraco. I think he was $14 or $15, so I went to $13, and I ended up getting him. And Nick Hundley was, I think, $13 or $14, and I got him for $12. At the end of the entire draft, I looked back and I got $290 worth of value for my $255 spent. I'll explain why it was $255. I left $5 on the table.
Oh, which, great! Yeah. For shame.
I know. Yeah, I know. That's and they I got interviewed by the XM guys afterwards, and they were like, you know, you left money on the table. And it's the same I'll say to you. You know, like, for instance, like Orlando Arcia got for $2. On my sheet, he's worth, I think, $6. Mm-hmm. So I left money on the table, but I have guys that I expected to have to pay more for. So, I mean, that's just, you know, that's what happened. It's not like I could have spent more. I didn't know I could have spent more because I was going off my own values. When I got to the end, and I think Scooter Gennett was the last player I got for $3. So, you know, I expected to have to go to $7 for Scooter. I didn't. I went to $3. So, yes, I left money on the table, but I really don't have a problem with it because I got the players, you know, I thought I needed to get.
Last hitter question for you. I'm questioning why you spent $10 on Scott Schaebler. Schaebler? Even I don't know.
Yeah. No, I know. That was one of those guys that surprised me. Like Rudy and I, we spent hours going through all of the values. Like, the ones that really stood out were, you know, there were some that were weird.
Sure.
And I was like, you know, I'm going to get Schlieber because he's on your sheet as $14. And, you know, and Rudy and I, in the end, were like, yeah, I guess get him because Steamer, you know, Steamer's saying he's a double-digit power guy and he has double-digit speed. And he could hit, and he's probably going to be on the strong side of the platoon. So, you know, it was like, it was weird. It wasn't someone who I was like, well, I really want this guy, but he was someone who the values really said that had value. So I was like, all right, you know, I'll go as, and for him, I had to go to 10. So obviously other people in the room wanted him too. So I wasn't the only one who, you know, if I got him for $2 as, I think actually Rudy and I were expecting him to go cheaper because in labor, I think he went for like $2 or $3. But yeah, he was one of those guys that I kind of expected to get because like on the Excel spreadsheet that I used, it said not only the value that the guy was worth, but also the labor value. And also on top of that, the difference. So I could see like who had a huge difference between labor and what my value was saying. So Schlieber, for instance, was, I think he went for say $3, and on my sheet it said 14. So it was like, there's no way I was not getting him. He was just the player that I was bound to get. And there were a few of those that I felt like there was no way I was not getting. Like Hellickson, to go into the pitching, Hellickson I got for $1. On my sheet it said $6. So I kind of expected I was going to get Hellickson. When I bid him, I was like, maybe someone will go to 2. You know, you never know what other people's values are. Maybe someone will go to 3 because I had him for 6. But in the end, no one went to 2. I ended up getting him for $1, and my value said he was a $6 player. So that was what happened there. Overall, my pitching is pretty low.
Yeah, it is, but you didn't spend much money, and I'm going to give you a slow golf clap right there. Jason Hamill and Patrick Corbin, $11 a piece in a deep NL only. That's pretty impressive. I like both of those values a lot.
Yeah, I know. I was actually pretty surprised by not only getting them for so cheap, but also sort of the vibe in the room of like, well, you really punted pitching. And I was like, yeah, I mean, I didn't get an ace. I don't have Kershaw or Scherzer. But to give people who are listening an idea, Kershaw went for $41. Scherzer went for $32. Strasburg went for $29. Like pitching is not cheap. So, but Corbin, he's already a year, he's more than a year removed from the surgery.
Almost 2 years now.
Yeah, 2 years, right. He pitched 85 innings last year, so he's back. And I think a lot of people will be surprised to know that he's only 26 years old. Like,
yeah,
he's not. Yeah, he's really young. And he was a strong number two before the surgery. I mean, in 2013, in 208 innings, he had a 3.4 ERA. So I don't, and last year when he came back from the surgery, he had an 8+ K rate and a 3.6 ERA. So, yeah, I mean, is Corbin Scherzer? Is he Kershaw? No, but I think he's going to be a strong number two. And, you know, also in that sort of same mind frame, I went for like a Kashner for $7. Kashner wasn't good at all last year, but he's not. I mean, I think he's got another decent enough, like maybe 2 to 3 starter year. Like he still had good Ks last year. He was over an 8 in Ks, and I only paid $7. $7 in this league. Scott Kazmir went for $6. That's the same Scott Kazmir who can't get above 88 miles per hour with his fastball, yeah, and is complaining about shoulder problems.
Yeah.
So Kazmir goes for $6, and I get Kazmir for $7. And Kazmir last year had 184 innings with an 8 K rate. I don't hate. Like I really don't hate my pitching as much as a lot of people were. I think a lot of people were a little bit like, "Wow, you really punted pitching."
Yeah, I mean it's unsexy. I mean, you got Gio Gonzalez, Jake Peavy, and as you mentioned earlier, Hellickson to fill it out. It's unsexy, but I like the values of all those guys. With Kashner, he was a guy that I went into my pitcher ranks ready to really tank down there, but he was actually really unlucky last year. 65.6% left on base. That's probably one of the lowest, if not the lowest, for all qualifying pitchers. That's with a 330 BABIP, which is, you know, well higher than any of his other seasons. He could easily have a nice bounce back season.
Yeah. No, I know. And then in the reserve round, I was able to get Chase Anderson and Tom Kohler. And I'm not saying these guys are good, but I rostered them last year in mixed leagues. For me to get them in the reserve round, I didn't really understand like what people like, you know, not to name names, but some people in their pitching team, like they have Chad Qualls, Tony Cingrani, you know, like there's some pitchers that you're like, there's no way you're keeping that guy on your team. I like guys like Bartolo Colon is a decent, you know, he's a decent dollar flyer. That's fine, you know, whatever. But is he as good as Jeremy Hellickson, Chase Anderson, Tom Kohler? I mean, I don't think he's, you know, it's like, I don't know. It's just like I felt like I was in you know, for some people's values, and I'm sure everyone in the league was going off of their own values. So, you know, that's what their sheet said. But I feel like, I don't know, my sheet was making more sense to me.
Yeah, and you got
to... here's one last thing. I think it's a little bit boring for people to hear about someone else's team. But one last thing. I got Orlando Arcia for $2.
Yeah.
All right? So, and Trevor Story went for $7. Adina Hechiavera, who is a terrible baseball player, went for $3. Okay? So Orlando Arcia, who could be as impactful as like a Francisco Lindor this year. All right? But let's just say Trevor Story, because he's he's a guy that a lot of people are hyping up now. Trevor Story has Jose Reyes in front of him. Are people expecting Jose Reyes to get cut, suspended for the whole year, or traded outright to another team and not play for the Rockies at all? Like, I don't understand where they think Jose Reyes is going, because those three things seem like a long shot to me. What seems more probable is Jose Reyes gets suspended for a month. He comes back in late May, early June, and plays for 2 months with the Rockies, and then is traded at the deadline at the end of July. That means Trevor Story is not coming around. He's not playing full-time until August. Now, you have Orlando Arcia, where you have Jonathan Villar is in front of him. Villar will move to third, and Aaron Hill will either go to the bench or platoon with Scooter at second, or platoon with Chris Carter at first, or he'll just be a platoon utility player. And Arcia will play shortstop. There's no reason that the Brewers need to get Aaron Hill at bats. It does nothing for them.
Trade value.
Yeah, that's literally trade value that they can get rid of. Everyone knows who Aaron Hill is. There's trade value that they can get rid of him, even if he's platooning. I mean, he's going to be a platoon player no matter where he gets traded to. Yeah. So Arcia has a much clearer shot as getting into the majors by June 1 than I think Trevor Story. But, you know, Trevor Story went for $7, and Arcia, I drafted Arcia for $2. I don't know. it seems like a great deal to me. But, you know, there you go. That's why these are my values. Like Cockcroft, he drafted Javier Baez for $6. I like Javier Baez, but he's got no playing time shot. Where is he playing? They have so many outfielders that there's no way he's going. What's he? He's going to play over who? Who would he play over? No one. Yeah. Zobrist? There's no way they're benching Zobrist for Baez.
When Schwarber catches, maybe. But,
yeah, maybe, but that would mean Solar is injured. Otherwise, Solar is playing.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's a crowded team.
And Baez goes for $6. So, you know, I mean, I don't know. I like my team, but I feel like everyone probably likes their own team. So there you go.
Yeah, and real quick, I really love what you did with your relievers. You got Ramos and Hoover for 13 and 7, and a good shot at Hunter Strickland maybe being the closer down the road for $4. That's $24 on... In NL only, there's not a lot of closers. A lot of teams have one closer. A lot of teams punted it completely.
Yeah, no, totally. I mean, I got J.J. Hoover, who the Reds have already said is going to be their closer.
Yeah.
Now, whether he keeps the job or not, I mean, that's debatable. Who knows? But they've said he's the closer. Someone, and I got him for $7. Someone got Fernando Rodney for $8.
Yeah,
I wouldn't, you have to give me $8 to take Rodney onto my team. I do not want Fernando Rodney. Like, Fernando Rodney is the kind of guy who you're like, oh, great. I had I got an 8-inning shutout from Scherzer, and then Rodney came in and gave up 4 runs. So there's the end of that.
Yeah, and I'm looking at this. It looks like at least two teams just skimming real quick, completely punted getting an actual closer. So.
Oh yeah, totally. Yeah, no, people punted closers. One guy took Will Smith for $7. I mean, you know the Brewers. I mean, Will Smith is good, but is he going to get saves? I don't know.
It sounds like they might legit try the righty lefty thing. I don't really know either. They said they're not going to name anyone until opening day. $7, because he's a good pitcher regardless, is a good enough buy to.
Yeah, that's fair. I'll give you that.
But I scroll over here and see Jake McGee for $9. I mean, that's an amazing value.
Yeah, no, Jake McGee was good. Yeah, there was other people got some good value. I like, someone got Quackenbush for $3.
Yeah, that was a good one.
And that's a solid buy. Actually, I wanted Jumbo Diaz, and he went for $1. I wanted to back up, Hoover with Jumbo, but Strickland's got such, he's so good. And I was like, you know what, I'm just going to go Strickland. And because I don't know, I'm always under, like, I don't really play to, I don't draft to back up my own closers. Like, a lot of times, like, if I get a closer, like, say I'll get, like, I'll draft Brad Ziegler, for instance. I wouldn't necessarily, you know, draft his backup, Tyler Clippard. I would just draft a different backup and hope I got saves from the guy I drafted. I don't necessarily handcuff the closers I own. I just take a handcuff that's out there at a decent price.
Yep. And the only time you need to be sure you bench Hunter Strickland is when they play the Nationals, because Bryce Harper has like 19 home runs off him or something.
Yeah, that's a good call.
So Gray, was there a crowd there at the Tout Wars draft? Was there an audience watching you?
You mean aside from my usual fan club that I roll with?
You could have diverted half the marathon just to watch the draft, right?
Yeah, exactly. Cue the Benny Hill music as I move the barricades till everyone runs into the draft room.
Well, once this is a televised event, you can get tickets for it.
Oh, and I'm wearing women's underwear while I play the Benny Hill music, obviously.
Once this becomes a televised event, you can get your tickets for it on SeatGeek. Because if you've ever been frustrated trying to buy tickets online, most sites make it complicated and then try to sneak in huge fees at checkout. That's why you need to try SeatGeek. They made it easier than ever to buy and sell concert tickets. They pull all the tickets available on other sites into one place so you can save time and never miss a deal. You can even set alerts for upcoming events, and SeatGeek will let you know if ticket prices fall. Even better, every ticket on SeatGeek is given a grade based on value, so you can immediately find underpriced seats. And before you buy, you can use SeatGeek's detailed maps to see the view from your seat. And if you get this for Tout Wars, try to get a good view of the upskirt gray seat to see those women's underwear. Best of all,
my garter. Yeah. All right. Well, that was that. Good plug. Oh, no.
Best of all, SeatGeek is always honest and upfront about the price. Unlike StubHub, SeatGeek shows you the full ticket price from start to finish and never surprises you with huge fees at checkout. Our listeners will get $20 rebate off their first SeatGeek purchase. To get your $20, download the free SeatGeek app, go to the settings tab and add promo code, enter promo code RAZMLB, RAZZMLB, and I've just heard out there that some other podcasts are doing some SeatGeek stuff because we've been doing so good with it. So if you're listening to other podcasts and they're talking about SeatGeek and you're thinking about it, you better put in RAZMLB and not any other promo codes, and they'll send you $20 after you've made your first purchase. So download the free SeatGeek app now. Enter promo code RAZMLB today and see Gray's garter.
Is that all the, just out of curiosity, the other podcasts you listen to, when they end their SeatGeek promo, do they also say, and see Gray's garter?
I'm going to go with, I hope not. So.
Fair enough.
All right, some news and notes from around the majors. Brad Boxberger is going to put his dick in a Boxberger for 8 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Core surgery, that is not good. That's what derailed Verlander for a while there. Who do you like to close in the interim, Colome or Farquhar?
Lord Farquhar.
I got to clear my throat. It'll sound just like Farquhar.
I kind of like Colome, but I think Farquhar might. I don't know. It's a tough call. I think Farquhar might end up as the first go-to guy, but I think he's going to fail, and Colome is going to end up getting more saves. It's really not a pretty situation. As of right now, I have Colome, I think, getting, I want to say, 14 saves, and Farquhar getting 9 saves, and Boxberger getting like 18 saves or something. Like it's kind of a mess right now in Tampa. I would take a flyer on, you know, either Colome or Farquhar at the end of my draft, and you know, just see what happens. And then if you pick the wrong guy, you just drop him and pick something else up. I wouldn't sweat it. It's not going to be pretty all year.
I had my first RCL draft earlier in the week. I was it was before this news came out, so I grabbed Farquhar off the wire. The thing I kind of like him for it because Colome, you know, they stretched him out as a starter at time. I think they might like him to do more than one inning, kind of see him as the Betances sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, no, I agree. I think that's there. I think that's like kind of lurking in the background of like they won Colome for an inning and two thirds or two and a third innings, and Farquhar is strictly a three out guy. So yeah, I mean that's Farquhar has that going for him. What Colome has going for him is he's just better. So you know, in the end, I'd prefer the better guy, but I'd also like the guy who's getting saved. So it's kind of a toss up for me right now. But I think
Farquhar has shown that he can be good before. He just wasn't good last year.
Yeah, no, that's true.
I mean, relievers go through ups and downs.
He was so bad, though.
I know, relievers go through ups and downs like crazy.
Yeah, but he was, like, so bad. I mean, let's be honest. He was really terrible last year.
He wasn't Fernando Rodney terrible, and Rodney still
wasn't. I don't know. Barqua had a 5-plus ERA, so.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I mean, he wasn't good, let's be honest. Right. But, you know, I agree with what you said, and, yeah, Barqua probably gets the first chance. I'm hoping he blows it and Colome comes in because I have one share of Colome in one league, so I'm kind of hoping the better pitcher wins. But it could easily be Farquhar.
I have Farquhar in one league, and I think he's the better pitcher. Gray, suck on
Woo!
That. Yeah. McCullers is going to start the year on the DL. Are you still drafting him in any leagues?
Yeah, I would. Not at the same place I had him. I dropped him about 20 spots in my starter rankings. I still like him. You know, I just think that there is a chance now that we can get a completely lost year from him. You know, anytime, you know, a pitcher starts dealing with, you know, arm problems in the spring, it's not a great way to start the year.
No.
So I like him, but and prior to this news, I had him, you know, I had him down for like, I think 160 innings maybe. And now I think I dropped him to 140 innings. And I also, you know, before I had him at 170 innings, 160 innings, and I had him at like a 95% chance of getting to those numbers. Now I probably 140 innings and only maybe a 70% chance of getting to that inning count. So yeah, not only is he losing innings, but he's also become more risky.
Scary moment yesterday or 2 days ago. Reimer Liriano got hit in the face, multiple facial fractures. I wrote in my notes that I hate spring, but for today, I love spring. The Brewers ended on walk-off back-to-back home runs. One by Jacob Nottingham was the last walk-off. He was so good. Oh my God,
Jacob Nottingham! Wow.
Yeah, it's an awesome name.
That is a baseball name.
If
right
you're
there.
In Dynasty, oh man, his swing is unbelievable. His defense still is still a question mark. He won't be up until mid next year at the earliest. Catcher prospect for the Brewers looks awesome. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, maybe mid season if LaCroix gets traded. You think that's possible?
Nah, he's too young, and with his defense such a question mark, I don't think they want to rush him into catching yet. So, I did want to bring this up though because I was looking at spring stats, and Keon Broxton actually leads the majors, or at least he was tied for the league in steals. So a little Sagnoff there. And with, you know, it's sad to talk about Liriano down. He's probably going to start on the DL and be on the DL for a while. But with, you know, one less outfielder out of that outfield now, Broxton looks like he might get more ABs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I like Broxton as a late flyer. I think I put him maybe – I added him into my top 100 outfielders just barely – into like I think around the 90th area. I like him. I think he has a little bit of pop. He's got speed for steals. The problem is he could hit 210.
Yeah, that's the thing. So interesting Sagnoff in the right situation.
Yeah.
I forgot to mention when you were talking to your Tout Wars team, so in the REL, it's a 15-team NL only that I'm in, so we can cross our swords with NL only pickups.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and one of those could have been Juan Nicasio, but he went too crazy, and now he's got the buzz. 10 strikeouts and 4 innings his last game. You interested in all?
I think it was the game before. I think he pitched today.
Oh, he pitched today?
Which is Monday, and he struck out 8 and 5 innings, which is still a good game.
Oh, good Lord.
Yeah.
So he's keeping it up.
Yeah, I mean, it was a split squad game against the Twins.
Yeah.
I can only imagine who's on the Twins split squad team. I'm going to guess Ken Herbeck, but I don't know.
Kirby Puckett Jr.
Yeah, Junior. yeah, I mean, I would take a flyer on Nicasio. Nicasio? Is that it?
Nicasio.
Yeah, I would take a flyer on him. I don't believe spring stats in the least, but you know, Ray Searidge is the pitching coach, so maybe he's able to sprinkle some of that Searidge pixie dust on Nicasio and make him into an ownable pitcher for 12-team mixed leagues. I have my doubts, but yeah, I mean it's worth a flyer in the last round. Why not?
Yeah, 9 innings, past 2 starts now, 18 strikeouts to 2 walks. It's pretty good. And yeah, it's when he had the 10 strikeout game, I was like, ooh, maybe he's available in the REL. Nope. And then was drafted for $2 in your league. So
yeah, in Tout Wars he went for only $2. So that was, I mean, that's a decent flyer. I could see going to, you know, between $2 and $5 in an NL only league. That's worth it.
Yeah. Michael Brantley getting ahead of schedule. It sounds like he might be back by opening day. He's playing in spring training games now. Is he rising on your draft board?
No, I do. I mean, I would consider him if he fell a little bit, but I think if more of the news comes out that he's going to be healthy for opening day, his draft pick, his ADP is going to rise. So it's not going to become more favorable for me to draft him. So I doubt I own him, but I could see now potentially if he fell a little bit drafting him, whereas before I didn't want any part of him. I thought he was a little bit overrated, but yeah, I could potentially see it. I'm not the biggest Brantley fan. I think, 15 homer power, 15 steals, and good counting stats and good average is about what you're going to get. That's not terrible. That's fine. I don't think it's as good as, you know, his ADP usually, figures in.
Yeah, I got him 79 in my first RCL. It seemed like pretty good. Guys that went after him, Jacoby Ellsbury.
Oh, yeah, that's not bad.
And then I think I like Matt Kemp more. He went a few picks later. Maybe I should have gotten Kemp.
Yeah, I don't know. Kemp's also like, he's just so down.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, he's so whatever. He's got a pretty decent floor. Just his ceiling is gone, and it's just so unexciting.
Yeah.
I'm looking at your RCL team right now, and I gotta say, I like it. It looks like a solid team.
Well, we'll save that for next week because I did some crazy stuff. But
okay, all right, yeah, we'll talk about it next week then. But anyone else who. RCLs are the last leagues are filling up, so if people want to get into an RCL, you better do it quick because there's not going to be I don't think there's going to be many more forming in the towards the end here.
Yep. I mentioned as a sleeper Brandon Mauer. Oh my god, did you see his last start?
No, I honestly really rarely look at spring stats, but I didn't see his. No.
Yeah, 1.1 innings, 10 earned runs, and it's just his ERA this spring is now 24.
Poor Brandon.
Now, I will say that, you know, he was staying in the zone and probably just trying not to walk anyone. I have him in REL as one of my back-end starters, but that's, you know.
Does REL stand for something?
Yeah,
what is that?
Razzball Elite League.
I had no idea.
Yeah,
okay.
We've had it for basketball. This is our third year, and we talk about it all the time. So I'm so used to just using the acronym.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, I thought it stood for something, but I wasn't totally sure.
Hector, I know you said you don't really care about spring, but Hector Santiago, 17 strikeouts and 12.1 spring innings.
No, no, Santiago's no, God, no. That has nothing to do with anything. That's one of those definite, just fluky spring things because he's got such a long track record. I mean, someone like Nicasio, at least he's got a new pitching coach. He's got a new environment. He had good stuff. He was struggling because he was in Coors.
Yeah.
So that's something I would definitely look at. But someone like Hector Santiago, no, he's, you know exactly what he is. He's a 3-6, to 3.8 ERA guy, high 7, low 8 K rate, you know, he'll get maybe around 9 to 11 wins. He'll be in and out of the rotation because the sociopath can't ever leave him in the rotation. He's a solid streamer against certain teams and at home. I don't think he's very ownable outside of maybe 15 team mixed or deeper. AO only, sure. I mean, everyone's ownable in AO only, but in a 12 team or 10 team mixed league, Santiago's not someone I would go near.
Yeah, I didn't rank him my top 100, and I got grilled by a commenter on it, and it's so yawnstipating.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what he is. Yeah. He's nothing. He's really like he's someone who's just so obviously whatever.
Yeah. Last guy I want to mention real quick, it's maybe not for roto leagues, but I honestly knew very little about this guy, but Jabari Blash, A, incredibly awesome baseball player name. B,
yeah, great name.
Might start for the Padres or at least be, AJ Green, that's a football receiver. Andy Green, manager of the Pods, said the other day that there's a chance he could start in left field. Looking at his stats, he doesn't hit for a high average, but oh my lord, in points or OBP leagues, get this guy. His walk rates are insane.
Yeah. Yeah, no, agreed. He was definitely someone I was looking at him for tout. I was trying to see if I can get him cheap. It just didn't work out. But yeah, he was someone who was higher, like I was saying earlier about tout and my sheet, how I had labor and how I knew which guys I was probably going to end up with. Blash was one of those guys I thought I was going to own because he is such a beast on base percentage. He's a guy I think could surprise and out of nowhere be ownable in 10-team mixed leagues.
Yeah, yeah. Hit 32 home runs across AA and AAA last year. His average was only a little over 270, but man, in AA in 60 games, 383 OBP. In 56 AAA games, 355 OBP. Ugh! I need to Farquhar my phlegm! Oh,
yeah.
Sorry.
The only real big downside to Blash is his K rate. He could potentially hit 215 in the majors.
Oh,
so
yeah.
That's one. That's the only really big drawback. He has a nice pop. Steamer projects him for around 25 homers for a full season. He doesn't. Steamer doesn't have him down for a full season. That's only if he were to get a full season. And, like you said, if he can get the playing time, then that's huge.
Yeah, true three outcome player. And that 215 might keep him out of roto average leagues. But in OBP or points leagues, those walks, he's gonna be a good player in those formats.
Yeah. That was fun. That was a good time. JB, we had fun, man. But right?
Wait, what, like, why are you signing off the show? Why are you driving the show now? Why are you signing off?
No, I'm host now. We had fun, didn't we?
Yeah.
I would say that this was fun.
Yeah, we had a good time. I need to get out of here.
Right?
I need to get out of here and fix my water filter and and go get some bro food at the...
Oh my God.
It's time to start drinking. Delight on the Shields! Delight on the Shields!
Oh God! Why didn't we talk about Delight? I wanted to nominate him in my NL only. That's how much I love him.
Oh yeah, just on the off chance he somehow traded, right?
someone actually in the AL only tout wars the day before, someone nominated Ben Revere. oops. And then, on top of someone nominating him, someone bit him up.
Oh, no!
I just saw Reimer, the news just came out of my feed. It said Reimer Liriano discharged.
Oh, wow, that's great. Yeah, because it's very scary, and you know, with multiple facial fractures, you don't know if something complicated.
Discharged from the hospital. I didn't read the whole thing. I got it. I'm following now. I just thought discharged.
All right. Best of thoughts to Reimer Liriano. Best of thoughts to my Brewers, as always. And Greg, we're gonna end the show. I've taken over the driving seat. Your backseat driving's terrible. And we'll be back next week. Take it easy, bro.
All right, later.